I'm excited for the month of February. Isn't February an exciting month? Isn't it super exciting? So what I like about this month, obviously Valentine's Day is coming up in a week, and you know, we talk about love. The word that God put on my heart for February is family feud. Turn to your neighbor and say, family feud. Have you ever been in a family feud before? Have you ever had a family feud before? So, before I get started, I want to, I don't know if you've seen these outside. These are these nice little wood objects that are right outside by the trailer. So when we came here, we were thinking we needed to block off an area for the kids. Because how many of us know kids are the best, right? We don't want anybody to get ran over, so we're going to block off an area, make sure the kids are safe. So first we're going to look at orange cones. How many know that if you buy an orange cone, tall ones, they're expensive, right? And Joel said no. So Jose, who's totally awesome, everybody say hi to Jose. He said, we're just going to build something. So we met at Home Depot, bought the woods, $20 for the six that we built, maybe less. Came into my house. He bought his whole garage into his car and then out of the car and onto my driveway so we can build these. So we're trying to build something that kind of just sticks out a little bit, right? Would you agree? I mean, it kind of sticks out a little bit, right? We need to paint it with some orange, right. Sammy, that's your job next week. If you suggest it, it's the new theme. You suggest it, you got to do it, right? Smelt it, dealt it, suggest it, do it. All right, that's how it goes. So if we were to just take a 2x4 and stand it up, probably wouldn't work very well, right? Especially a taller 2x4. If we were to take off this bottom piece right here and just try to get it to stand up by itself, would it? Maybe for a second, possibly. So what we had to do, we had to build a base or foundation to hold up the 2x4. You see, today, again, theme is family feud. Many people are trying to build their life without a base, without a foundation. And as you can see, this is standing up okay, right? Now, we could probably kick it a little bit, right? Knock it around a little bit. It's still okay, right? But for a lot of people in our world, and I'm hoping this doesn't break, Jose. If it does, forgive me, okay? If we were to, like a lot of people today, try to build our lives upside down without the correct foundation, what's going to happen? It's going to fall. Just like that. This is what we have in our world today. A shaky people all over the world, because they've built themselves. Their parents have built themselves. Parents have raised their kids without proper foundation. So turn to your neighbor and say, foundation. Now, one of our favorite verses on foundation, if you go to Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, Jesus says, listen, anyone who listens, ask, are you listening? Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on a solid rock. Though the rain comes and torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it's built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and ignores it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on the sand. When the rains and floods come, the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. Jesus lays out two, it's kind of simple, things. He said, whoever listens, and how many of us know that listening is important? Valentine's is next weekend. So if any ladies are out there giving hints to their guys about what they're expecting for next weekend, the first thing that you guys must, that we all guys, and we talked about this today, right? Valentine's, and just kidding, we didn't. But anyway, guys, if the girls are dropping the hints, what do we need to do? We need to... We're going to keep you. You're awesome, Royal. Thank you. You know, it's funny. Last week, Kim and I had dinner with Isaiah and a guy named Carl Harker. And Kyle Harker is a kid that we've known for a long time. We took him to this youth conference one time, and there's probably 4,000. It was packed to the max. And they're walking around, and they're asking young boys what they thought about girls. And at the time, I don't know how old he was, maybe, what do you think, 10 years old. So he's in the front row, because that's what you do when you're 10. You're cool. You sit in the front, right? And he's, the guy comes up and says, what do you think about girls? And he screams from the top of his lungs. How many sisters does he have? He says, they're pussy! That made me think of that, bro. I don't know why, but run or bossy, I don't know. Yeah, but bring it back. Listening is an important part of life. And in the old days, I would say a lot of people, so many people have heard the gospel story. And there are people who are unsaved. There are people who are atheists who they know the gospel story. They know scriptures, right? Because they have listened to it. But just because you've listened to it does not mean that you have a good foundation. Just because you've heard it. Now, Paul does go on to say in Romans that listening is important, right? And the more you hear it, hopefully eventually you're going to get saved, right? But Jesus said there's two things that we must do to have a really good foundation. Listen and then follow. And this is one of the most important things where Christians sometimes drop the ball. Where the Bible says, listen and follow. Jesus said, you have to listen, and it starts with listening, and it starts with hearing, and it starts with reading. But more important, just as important as listening, we need to do what it says. That is what is important, to do what it says. When it says, don't be angry, that's what Jesus said. Don't be angry. When he said, don't lust, that's what he meant. Do not lust, right? All the things that Jesus laid out in the Old Testament, New Testament, what God has put in there for us, it's to listen, but it's also to follow. And he said, those who listen and then those who follow are wise. And so in our world today, we have many people who aren't very wise because they're listening and they're not following. And because they're not listening, and maybe they are listening a little bit, but they're not following, there's no foundation. And what did Jesus say? If you don't have a good foundation, it's going to happen to you? Knocked over. Knocked over. Look around our world today. How many people over and over and over again, all around the world, anything happens now. And how many people, we turn on the news, we go home tonight, who knows what's going to happen next? Who knows what's going to be on CNN and Fox News, right? Something that's just going to blow our minds and we're freaked out and, oh my gosh, and I can't leave my house again. I need to stay locked in the bathroom. Who knows what's going to happen next? Who knows? But it's important as Christians that we start, that we remind, that maybe we even forget for some of us how we've built our life up to this point and start building it properly. So tonight we're going to go to the beginning. If you have your Bibles, our main text is Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And then God said, let us make human beings. Tap yourself, say that. That would be one of me. Yep. Let us make human beings in our image to be like ourselves. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and all the small animals that scurry along the ground. God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful, hallelujah, multiply, fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground. Then God said, look, I've given you every seed-bearing plant throughout the earth and all the fruit trees for your food. I have given you every green plant as food for all the wild animals, the birds in the sky, the vegetarians, and all the small animals that scurry along the ground, everything that has life. And that is what happened. God looked over all that he had made, and he saw that it was good. And evening passed, and morning came, marking the sixth day. So the very beginning, it says, let us make man, woman, in our image. Made in the image of God. To be made in his likeness, to be made righteous, holy, to contain the very essence of what we represent. To be made in the image of God is to be made the very essence of God, God's representative on the earth. And the peak of creation, the peak of all that God had done to this point, was creating human beings. Sometimes when we take a look at human beings, there are times when we feel special, right? When we brought home that report card with all A pluses, right? When you know, good things happen and you had your first kid and you graduated from high school, graduated from college, there's moments in life where it's good and I felt, wow, I feel good. I feel worth something. But sometimes being made in his image, even though we've heard this over and over and over and over again, most of us still do not build our worth on the image that we bear. Even though we're made in his image, even though we've heard it, right? We've listened. That's that part of listening. We've heard this before. We've heard God talk about being made in his image. But yet, how many of us still base our worth on our possessions? How many of us still base our worth on what we have and what car we drive and how much money is in the account? What kind of phones do we have? Right? How many of us are still basing our worth and our feelings, our good feelings, our own possessions? And how many people, even as believers, are still basing worth off achievements? This is what I've achieved. Look at me. I'm so successful. I'm awesome. The greatest, absolute greatest thing about us is that God loved us so much that he made us in his image. He wanted us to be like him. He wanted us to be his representatives. The greatest thing about us, yes, we're handsome, and yes, we're beautiful, but you're made in the image of God, and your worth, that should be the number one thing that you understand about yourself. I'm awesome because I'm made in his image. I'm awesome, not by how much I bench press, not by how many push-ups I can do, not by how many hairs that are on the head. We're all thinking about one person who we love a lot, right? You know, there's people, and how many young people, there used to be a thing called school, found their worth going to school. How many young kids, when they got up in the morning, they were so excited to go see their friends, and they're so excited to be around the 3,000 other kids that are there, and their worth, and it felt so good to be listening and you know, achieving, and their worth was coming from those school. How many of us like having hobbies? Skateboarding, surfing, shooting, killing, just kidding. Playing video games. Someone this morning, one of the guys was saying, he never thought he'd have to walk into the bank with his gun and his mask on, but he's done it twice. Right, Jim? Don't go to the bank same time as Jim. How many people and even believers are finding their worth, not in God, but in their hobbies? I've learned this. I've become good at this. My guitar, my piano, my drums. I feel my worth when I'm hitting on all cylinders. As believers, even as believers today, many people still finding their worth in hobbies. And here's a good one, this one I'm going to end with. And this is for us guys. How many find their worth, just kidding, their looks? It wasn't the guys, this is for the girls. But how many guys, girls, and there are pretty boys out there, right? But how many people being attractive to them when they feel that they're cute makes them feel worth more than anything in the world? How many people, they see it because there's magazines all over the place telling young girls, you got to look like this to be cute, right? How many people have trained and tried to warp our kids' brains? This is how you must look to feel worthy. Non-Christians, Christians alike, so many people still have not yet found that our greatest thing is, man, we bear the image of God. Everywhere we walk, in everything that we do, It does not matter. You know what people like to do? They like to point in our face. You made a mistake. You made a mistake. I heard you say, you know, that bad word the other day. You were chewing bubble gum and doing cartwheels, and I heard a cuss word. You fell. I heard you say that. People love to throw and put Christians down. But you know what? God didn't make us so that we'd be perfect every day, right? He didn't make us. His Son makes us perfect. Now, when he created Adam and Eve in the beginning, they were, and they had a perfect, beautiful garden, a big white house with a picket fence, right? It was gorgeous and it was perfect. And they were good most of the time. But our worth as Christians, you need to start telling yourself, my greatest worth is I bear his name. I bear his name. More than the name that's been given to me, I bear the name of God. I walk around and I carry his name. It is flowing through my blood and my veins. Everything about me is God because I'm made in his image. Luke 20, 20 through 26, Jesus talks about a story. And he says, watching for the opportunity, the leaders sent spies pretending to be honest men. They tried to get Jesus to say something that could be reported to the Roman governor so he could arrest Jesus. And teacher, they said, we know that you speak and teach what is right and you're not influenced by what others think. You teach the way of God truthfully. Now tell us, is it right for us to pay taxes to Caesar or not? This is a great question that many people still ask today. Should I pay taxes or not? He saw through their trickery and he said, show me a Roman coin whose picture and title are stamped on it. Caesar's, they replied. Well then, he said, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and give to God what belongs to God. And as Jesus and as these religious leaders are having a discussion, they're talking about money. But Jesus never, ever, every single person he talks to, anything that anyone brings up to Jesus, it's not where he goes, right? They're talking about money, and he's talking about whose image that we as people, that we bear, that we carry. And he said, listen, you go ahead and give all the money to Caesar. That doesn't even care. But what is important, if you're made in the image of God, then who you belong to? You belong to the person of the image that you bear. And whose image do you bear? You bear the image of God. You, I, the entire world, we are born in his image and we belong to him. Psalms 24 says this, the earth is the Lord's. Say it's not mine. The earth is the Lord's. He does let me borrow it because he's a nice guy. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all its people. So not just some of the people. Not the nice ones over here and those weirdos over here. No. All people belong to God. We are his image bearers. Walk around at work, at school, if you are one of those kind of people, educated. Or just wish you were back in school. You bear his name. Everywhere you go, yes, in the bank with a gun and a mask, who cares? You bear his name. You bear the name of God. Every relationship, every friendship, every job, every person, every time we come into contact with anybody in the entire planet in heaven, understand you bear his name. I was taking my two daughters to get a haircut today, and so we're driving down Hemet. There was like 20 people. And you know what they were doing? Coolest thing I've ever seen. They were picking up trash. But you know what made it really cool was the shirt that they were wearing. And you know what the shirt said? I love Hemet. Now let's just pause for a second. And let's think kind of weird for a minute. How many people the last 40 years have said at least one negative thing about this valley? And as they said that one negative thing about this valley, you know what happened? They burped out a piece of trash and just laid there on the ground. This town, everywhere we live, our communities, our neighborhoods, they are what we make it. If we love this valley and we treat it well and we speak well of this valley and we bring the life of God everywhere we go, you know what's going to happen? It will flourish. If we speak death in where we live, guess what's going to happen? It will die. So we should all go out and buy a shirt that says, I love Emmett, right? Just kidding. You don't have to do that. But why not make our town a better place? Instead of complaining about the trash, why not do something about it? You know, it's like in ministry sometimes, you'll be amazed how many people, how many of us, and we all have, pat yourself on the back, I always have good ideas, right? Great suggestions, good ideas. But people make many suggestions and ideas and they don't ever want to do them, right? Remember what Jesus said? Listen and follow. If you got an idea, then just do what he's telling you to do. Doesn't mean you got to ask for approval sometimes, right? Now in sales, in the company I work for, they always said, just go out and do it. And if it ends up blowing up in our face, that's okay. We'll ask for forgiveness later, right? If God puts something on your heart to do, that doesn't mean you always got to run around and say, do it, can I? No. Maybe God's telling you to do something, right? God made us in his image, and then he made them male and female. I'm going to ask you a tough question. Which one are you? Which one are you? Do you know? Do you know? Have you learned? Most of us know. We got it. Let me ask you a question. Does God ever make a mistake? Does God ever make something and be like, shoot, I messed up on that one. Now, some of us, we're thinking that, right? Let's be honest. Some of us were thinking, God took a nap when he was making that one over there, putting that one together. Does God create a human and be like, I left out a chromosome in that person. I left out something that was very important to them. So let me ask you again. Does God make mistakes? He made them, what? Male and female. Now, if your kid comes to you and says, I feel like I'm a murderer, how many of us in this room are going to be like, dear Jesus, let's start rebuking demons. Call the whole tribe to get over here now. You would call them down. You would spank them maybe, slap them, whatever you want to do. Throw them in the room, lock them in there for the next 10 years. Come today. Kids come to their parents and say, I'm confused about my sexuality. Parents don't correct their kids about that anymore. You can be whatever you want to be. You could be an apple. You could be a pizza. You can go out and do anything that you want to do. You could be a he-she. You could be a she-he. God created them. What did he create them? Male and female. Now, I will tell you, hey, people get confused in life, right? There are people who drive down the road every single day, and they get confused about where they're going. So to be confused about your sexuality, we're not meant to put anyone down because of it. They have some confusion. But if our kids are confused, let's help clear the confusion. Right? We can drop the drawers and say, listen, this is what God gave you. Right? This is what God gave you. Let's not make any more mistakes. You got it. He gave it to you. It's who you are. If you encourage someone in their sin, guess what? They're going to continue to sin. If you tell them the truth, guess what it will do? It will break the confusion. God created them, male and female. We already asked. God doesn't make mistakes. God put together, and this is beautiful and amazing, right? How many of us have learned in life? This is beautiful and amazing what God has made, what God has put together, what God made, a man and a woman to come together. And as they come together, he made them male and female to come together to make, guess what? A contract, a binding contract. When people get married, they make a binding contract. They are signing their name, their life, their blood, everything that they have, and they're putting on that contract, and they're saying, God is bringing us together. God is bringing us together for a reason, to be committed to something bigger than ourselves. Marriage is a beautiful thing. Doesn't mean that marriage is perfect all the time. Doesn't mean that men and women are perfect all the time. But God put us to be together for something greater, beyond ourselves, male and female. And when two people come together to leave all the past, all the memories, all the junk, and everything that's back there to start something new together. Because he says, listen, I'm creating you male and female. And then what I want you to do is I want you to fill the earth. I want you to populate the earth. I want you to fill. I want you to have babies. I want you to be fruitful. I want you to increase in numbers. even back in this time, what's crazy, in the beginning, and soon as there started to be pagan and devil worshipers and weirdos, there was men who they didn't like kids, believe it or not. Shocking, right? Even back in this day, even back in the beginning, there was men who did not like kids. You know why? They didn't like the noise. And so it said in the old days here, back in the day, that these guys would want to create certain viruses. They would want to create, I'm not talking to you, they would want to create plagues. You know why? They wanted to stop the commandment of God to fill, to multiply, to increase, and be fruitful. Even after God said this, immediately, once people became rebellious, there was rebellious people. They didn't want to follow the commands of God, that it is our God-given right and duty to fill and to populate this planet. Have as many kids as you possibly can. Hallelujah. Some of us have learned that trait really well. Sammy. This one right here. Not that one, this one. Hopefully you're done. Yeah. You never know. But God, in this moment, as he created man and woman in his image, and then he said, stop it.
I know.
Siri knows. In this moment, as God put a man and a woman together, and then as they made a contract to come together to create something beautiful, create a family. And as parents, and as Adam and Eve were the very first parents, right? As God made them, these are some of the things that I'm sure he told them. Life is not about how many buildings you build. It's not about how many dinosaurs you ride, because they were back then. It's not about how many trees you climb. It's about building your kids into big kids, not here. Not giving them donuts, because they didn't have them back then. But making sure that every kid that comes from you, that you build them into the biggest kid that they can be, into the most awesome man, into the most awesome young lady ever, that you don't live to be consumed with what you have, because so many people are so consumed with what they have that they lose sight on the things that are most precious to them. And I can't stand and say that I have this down 100%, you know, working and being in church, right? All of us can lead busy lives, right? And so sometimes we can neglect our kids, right? There's times as adults, how many of us, we make mistakes and God has to remind us. Even God reminded me this week, he said, church is not about building buildings, it's about building people. And we have to remind ourselves as a family, mom and dads, and as people here are going to have kids someday, you're going to. I don't know if you do or not, but if you do, when you do, 12, right? God said be fruitful. Put a lot of fruit on that tree. We don't even know you that much, but that sounds good, right, Royal? There you go. 15. Watch what you say, huh? Because your lady may not want 15. Yeah, there you go. As a parent, you have to remind yourself, God has given me precious jewels, and I need to take those jewels while they're young, and I need to help mold them, and I need to help shape them, and I need to encourage them when they need encouragement. I need to correct them when they need to be corrected. I need to rebuke them when they need to be rebuked. I need to spank them, hallelujah, when they need a good spanking. All the things that come along with parenthood. Because in this commandment, male and female, marriage, to fill and increase this, God was describing, I need my people. As you bear my image, I need you to create offspring of the light. And that light is revelation. Who's the revelation of? It's of him, right? That God has asked us, one of the greatest things from the very, very beginning. What was it? To start a family. But as you start that family, you have to bring them up in the truth. You have to bring them up in the way. And you have to bring them up in the life. Children of the light, that's what God has asked us to do. To instill into our kids who he is. To instill into our kids, God is awesome. How many of us have heard and remember the story of manna in the Old Testament? And for the Israelites, the Jewish people, as they were leaving Egypt, now it was exciting because they were getting out of slavery, right? They were getting whipped. They were getting abused. Slave labor, that's what kids are for. But the Jewish people, they were being slaves. And so as they get out, God rescues them. He takes them through the Red Sea. And eventually, if you're on a journey, eventually you're going to get hungry, right? It's like us men. Now, when we have men's breakfast, we eat. When we go fishing, we leave the food in the car. That's because we don't have any girls directing us and telling us what to do sometimes, so we lose sight of what's important. I left all the chips and cookies in the truck. Sandwiches. Left it. Manna. God leads them out, and they're starving. They've got to be hungry, right? When the refrigerator starts to get bare, and you're like thinking, there's just nothing to prepare. My kids are hungry. What am I going to make? What should come to your mind? Manna. I'll tell you why. Something, when you think of manna, something that they never saw before. But listen, the Israelites moved into a new season of learning how to trust God for something they'd never seen before. And as a parent, because whoever predicted in this room COVID last year, right? And who predicted the wild election of last year? Now, there are some people, but last year was crazy. The start of the year, again, crazy. We are in a new season of life. And in that new season of life, we have to retrain ourselves. When God wants to provide something that we're not used to, it's manna. When there's a little bit less than maybe there used to be, I need to look for the manna. There's a new season. Things are changing. Christianity is different. And we can't go back to smelling the roses and jumping with unicorns. It's just going to be different. We can't go backwards in Christianity. We must go forward. But in going forward, we have to look for the manna. Because you know why? People are starving. People are starving for real life. People are starving for something real. People are looking for some kind of word to just cling to and hang on to. And you know what they're looking for? They're looking for manna. We have to ask God today, God, show me where the manna is. Show me, God, what I'm missing. Something, God, that you want to provide for me that I've never seen before, so I'm not looking for. I don't know where to look. Is it in the trunk? Is it under the car? Is it in the lake? Where is it? But at the same time as parents, that's a teaching lesson for our kids as well. We have to learn how to teach our kids through the Bible, through the stories. We have to teach them about manna. And I'm not, even though I love to stand up here and teach the Bible for 15 hours straight, right? It's awesome. Just lock the doors. You're not getting out. Three movies, they're 4 hours long. It doesn't mean that I'm perfect at teaching my kids all the time just because I love to stand up here and teach. But as people, as moms and dads, that's something that we have to recommit ourselves to. I have to teach the Bible and through the stories and apply it when the seasons are good and when the seasons don't look so good, bringing it back to where? Bringing it back to manna that God has provided. And that, in teaching kids through the seasons and through the manna, what does it do? It produces this. Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. God created us in the very beginning to be what? His children. And what are we, the children? We're the children of the light, the revelation of the way, the truth, in the life. Psalms 127:3. Children are a gift from God. They are a reward from him. Children born to a young man are like arrows in a warrior's hands. How joyful is the man whose quiver is full of them. He will not be put to shame when he confronts his accusers at the city gates. A family, a man, a woman, and fruitful, it's a good thing. It's a gift from God. And after God created man and woman, and after he created the family, and after he created a contract for them to come together, he said, it is good. It is good. Now think about this. He already created the sun, moon, and stars. created the beach, right? He's already surfing waves. All of that stuff's awesome. Shooting stars are going by. Everything's beautiful, gorgeous. Created the dinosaurs, the fish, large fish, big fish, right? He created the birds. They're flying around. The eagles, they're chasing each other all over the place. The dogs, all those things got created. But at the very end, what did he do? What did he do? He created us. Because we are the highlight of his life. We're the apple of his eye. God created you. God created us. God created people to complete the creation that he put together. And when we choose his people, when we choose to bear his name and his image, then we become complete. God created Adam and Eve, and they were good, and they were great. But because they chose to sin, they took that image off of themselves. So now every person who is born after them, a choice that we all have to make. When you choose to bear the image of God, you now become a complete person because we're all born incomplete. So tonight my title is called Family Feud. Turn to somebody and say Family Feud. That word feud there, dictionary, prolonged and a bitter fight. Family, defined in different places, a foundational institution designed, ordained by God. The word family is a symbol of strength, sacrifice, hard work, togetherness. But you know one thing to me sticks out more than anything? It's a symbol of life. Family is a symbol of life because one of the first things God says to do, fill, increase, populate. When a baby is born, what is brought forth? Life. As I take a step back, what I find interesting is how is people, certain people in our country, the minute they're given power, decide it's their right to take life. How is it in our country that in anyone's mind, it's okay to kill an innocent child? That a symbol of a baby being born is life. There's a new life. There's a new boy, a new girl. But yet, how is it that any man, any woman thinks that it's okay, that death is okay to kill someone who's innocent? A baby does not have a choice in abortion. If they're being aborted, someone is taking their life. Someone is killing them, right? Whether it's on the inside or they bring the baby out and then they kill the baby. How is it even in our country today that there are men with evil hearts, minds, and souls who want to do what? They want to destroy life. And you know what that says? That they're rebellious in their hearts towards God. Because the number one foundational thing that God asked us to do was to be a part of creating life. And there are evil people today who are taking that away. They're taking that right away. God gives life. God has called you to be a giver of life. But it only happens. Rules and laws only happen because we, the people, allow it to happen. If there's things that we don't like in our country, if there's things that we disagree with, if we allow it to happen, then whose fault is it? It's our fault. Why is church powerful? Because we as the people in the church and believers and as children of the light, we come together and we talk about the Bible and we read the Bible and we talk about the principles and the foundations that we should build our life on. And we talk about these things so that it motivates us to do something, right? Those who are wise and have a strong foundation are those who hear but then follow what it says. God has given us a voice for a reason. God has given us a voice so that we can use it to speak what is right, what is true. It's not good for us just to hand over our country to anybody. And it's not good for us to just hand over our freedom to anybody. We have to stand together to speak what is right and what is true. And so my series this month is called Family Feud. Tonight is it's the fight for family. Because from the very, very beginning, the family has been under attack. And there are groups of people today. There are groups of people who are trying to do one thing. I want to destroy men. I want to destroy women. I want them to be confused about who they are. And I do not want them to produce any more children of the light.
They don't want families. They don't want any more Christians. No more believers. Families are under attack today. The very beginning and foundation of creation is what? It's a family. How important is it for us to be family? How important is it for us to have family? Male and female, fill to populate, to have kids, to be good parents. We must fight for our families. We must stand up and fight for our families, to fight for what is true and what is right. How many of us have learned being married that sometimes you fight? Sometimes you disagree in marriage. But does that mean that you call it quits? How many of us have had more than one fight? I'll never forget one time, I don't know who asked one of my kids, and they're like, do your parents fight? And they said, yeah, they had like 4 times. I was like, you are awesome. But with changing seasons, it changes attitude. With changing seasons comes stress. How many of us know people in the last 8 months have gone through large amount of stress? How many families today are being broken up because it's stressful? How many moms are just tired of being moms? Dads, tired of being dads, right? Trying to make things work and put together. And sometimes what men and women do when seasons change and things are happening that we have no idea what's going to happen next, you know what most of us do? We take a look inside and we start thinking, okay, how am I going to survive this? Instead of looking to our spouse and our kids, how am I going to help them survive what's going on? It's we start looking at me. How am I going to help me? How am I going to help me survive? How many of us, if we're brutally honest, no offense, but we're selfish sometimes, we're thinking, how am I going to get through my situation? How am I going to get through this intense moment right now? How am I? How am I? How am I? No one understands what I'm thinking and feeling and going through. It's all about me. How many of us have seen this has been a stressful, crazy year? And instead of maybe thinking how hard it's been for you, have you stopped and said, how hard has it been for you? Not for me, how hard is it for you? And I'm sorry. You know, one of the hardest things sometimes is to say, I'm sorry. My fault, right? It is. It's prideful people, right? For those who have pride, not any of us. So the other people have pride outside, right? For those other people who are puffed up with pride, but not us in here. We're all humble, good Christian kids, right? Young adults. Kids, young adults, all good, right? Yeah. In this season, because like the Israelites, they didn't get manna. This new season we're in, most of us are not getting what's going on in anybody else because we're only concerned with ourselves. And we can't stop the family feud, and we can't stop other people's family feud when we're more concerned about ourselves than anything else. God created man, woman to give, to be a symbol of strength, to be a symbol of unity. And again, I'm not up here to say I'm perfect and I'm the best husband and the best father. There are days where I can be good, right? But as we learned last week or 2 weeks ago, men have cycles too. Not to use it as an excuse. Sounds good. When we're cycling, we may be in a bad mood. Not cycling on a bike, Sammy. We're talking about internal cycles. You got that already? Okay. All right. I'm glad you're there. Many of us use so many excuses to be grumpy with our kids and spouse. I'm hungry, I'm tired, I'm stressed, I'm this, I'm this, I'm this. And there should be no excuse. Really, right? There should be no excuse to take out on somebody else what's bothering you internally. To stop the family feud, humble yourself. Get off the high horse of pride and say, I'm sorry. It's good for all of us. It's good for you. It's like taking a spoonful of sugar, which helps the medicine go down, saying, I'm sorry. It's important. I am sorry. I don't want a family feud. I don't want our symbol of family and strength to be damaged. I don't want what God has given us to be damaged. I don't want it to be given away. And in the same token, how many people do we know it's been stressful for us? How many people do we know it's been stressful for them? How many families are being broken up yesterday, today, tomorrow, this week, right? What's the words that you're going to give them? You're going to encourage them and say, dump the loser. Kick him out. She was a dork anyway. It's bro time, right? Oh, because as Christians, God's asked us to confront, correct? And tell people, you fight for your family. You fight with everything that you have. You give every ounce in your being to stand up and to fight for the very foundation. And again, Jose, I apologize in advance. We had a good, you know, bonding time while we were building these together, but time exactly. He's got cool tools, man. He does. Anybody wants to know where the cool tools are? They're at Jose's house. His garage. Jim shows up with a gun and a mask. Jose, just run. Just kidding. The foundation in the beginning is a man and a woman and family. People are trying to destroy that because they would rather you walk around like this. They'd rather you walk around wobbly and shaky. And you know what, honestly? People would rather you just fall down. People will laugh behind your back. People laugh at us no matter what. People are going to laugh at believers no matter what. And if you're going to get laughed at, why not be laughed at for standing for God? If you're going to be made fun of, be made fun of for standing what the Bible says. Follow us this month, Family Feud. We must fight for our families. Let's stand. We're going to pray and close. As we stand and close tonight, we're going to pray, and then we're going to sing our last song, and they're going to be dismissed. Jesus speaking of what it means to be a disciple. Because you'll remember the very beginning verse that I shared with that lays the foundation is learning how to listen and follow. Following is being a disciple. It's not enough just to come to church. God wants to disciple us. God wants to train us up. God wants to educate us with his word, right? God wants to give us all the tools, the bells and the whistles, all the snap-on tools that we can handle, right? All of those things so that we can be ready for all that he asks us to. And so as Jesus is describing discipleship, this is what he says. A large crowd was following Jesus, and he turned around and he said to them, if you want to be my disciple, you must, by comparison, hate everyone else, your father, your mother, your wife, your children, brothers, sisters, even your own life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. If you do not carry your own cross, follow me, you cannot be my disciple. But don't begin until you count the cost. Think about what I'm asking. For who would begin construction, building, without first calculating the cost to see if there's enough money to finish? Otherwise, you might complete it, only the foundation, before running out of money, and then everyone would laugh at you. They would say, there's that person who started that building. Look at these unfinished Christians all over the place. They started believing, they started following, and then they gave up. Look, they gave up again. They went to church for 2 weeks in a row, and then they gave up again. Just kidding. Just had to throw that in there real quick. Or what king would go to war against another king without first sitting down with his counselors to discuss whether his army of 10,000 could defeat the 20,000 soldiers marching against him? And if he can't, he'll send a delegation to discuss terms of peace while the enemy is still far away. You cannot become my disciple without giving everything you own. In Christianity, what's God asking for? Everything. What does it take to have a good family? Giving everything. I fail sometimes. You might as well. How do you become a better family? Everyone has to give. Everyone makes sacrifices. It takes all of us. And in your Christian walk, what God's saying, he doesn't really want you to go out and say to your wife or your husband, I hate you. Jesus said it, so I get to say it. I hate you. Not to go out and say to your kids, I hate you. God said I can hate you, so I do. That's not what Jesus was saying. He was saying, I expect everything from you. I expect you to give everything. I made you in my image. You're beautiful and you're handsome and you have so much worth and value because I gave it to you. Not in all the guys who say you're pretty and you're awesome. And not for all the girls who said your muscles are so cute and blah, 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 blah. Your worth does not come from other people's words. But your worth should come from his word. Your worth needs to come from his word. And then accepting your worth and who we are, we're made in his image. Then we go like his disciple to build other people. We're not here to build big buildings and empires. We're here to build big people. And we're not here to just build and buy more toys for our kids to play with. That's not what they need. They need you. They need me, right? Our kids need us. Because they didn't get, why are we eating manna again? They didn't get what happened last year, and they're still trying to get what happened last year. They don't get what God's doing. And so as parents and as adults, we have to build each other. We have to build our families and our kids. And lastly, that last part that Jesus talked about in discipleship, in building, and then what? Fighting. We have to fight for what's right. We have to fight to stand. We have to fight to use our voice. We have to fight to show the world we are made in God's image, and we're not going to back down. We're not. We're going to stand to be strong. God's made me that way. It's inside of me. I'm a builder and I'm a fighter. And I'm going to fight for my family.